Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm glad that you have tuned into the program this evening. Well, I tell you what, this program, I have said it before, if you are confused about any issues in the news that you see in the news or any issues that may arise from looking at the news, the purpose of this program is to set the record straight, or to augment what you have seen on your television screen or what you've heard in on your radio broadcast that you listen to. A lot of commentators do mean well. I mean, they do intend, rightfully and willfully intend to tell the truth about a certain case. However, for, you know, there may be time constraints or some other issues that prevent them from presenting the whole story to you. Well, let me tell you what I do on this program. If I have a sense that information is lacking in a news story and I know something about it, or just as an expert legally, I know something about it, I'll be glad to communicate and pass that information on to you so that you will not leave that broadcast with questions. And I know that you want, if you're the average person, and because I'm used to campaigning, I'm going to say the average voter, you want questions answered. You have questions that you'd like to be answered. And so that is the effort and the theme of this program, Setting the Record Straight. Well, today, let me tell you, today, I know that we've heard all the terror stories, and it's been something that has become a broken record. Over and over again about these terror, terrorist attacks on civilians, over and over and all over, as a matter of fact. But what I want to talk about today, and this is one of my fears, actually, with the Freddie Gray trial. In fact, I call it the Freddie Gray trial. It's the officer that is on trial, William Porter. He is the first of six officers to go on trial today in Baltimore. And in his trial, but I refer to it as the Freddie Gray trial, In fact, it's the first of six, like I said. I read a couple of articles from CNN, and there was another one from Newsweek. I looked at both those articles off of the internet, and I've seen that on this Monday morning, it was the witness was the medical examiner that was called to testify about what was the manner of death of Freddie Gray. And I believe she testified that it was a homicide. She testified how it happened, how it was believed to have happened. And certainly with a determination, a final determination that the death was a homicide. Now, partly, I believe she ruled, and I've tried to glean some of this from the news reports that we already have online, and that is that it appears as though they placed Freddie Gray in this van and that he had to be, well, you know, I'm going to have to do more research, because it is said that he was on maybe a bench in the van and that he fell off. He may have been restrained at that point with handcuffs and leg chains, and he fell off of the bench as the van did not go directly to the police headquarters or where it was that were going to, where they were going to house Freddie Gray. The van went somewhere else. In fact, I believe it said it made four different stops. The officer was driving, made aware that Mr. Gray had plummeted off of the bench with, of course, handcuffs and leg chains on, and that he was not attended to. He was not put in a seat belt. But what I found troubling, and the thing that really raised my eyebrows, was that once after telling the officer that was driving about it that the person had fallen and needed to go to the hospital, he did not take the person to the hospital. Instead, proceeded to make other stops after having that report. Furthermore, I understand that Freddie Gray was replaced on the bench, and then the officer that did it failed to, even after the first fall, failed to secure a seatbelt. That's negligent all day long. That is totally, totally a collaborative effort, if you ask me. Because even after the officer realized that the other officer wasn't going to take him to the hospital, he should have secured him on that bench to prevent further injuries, and he did not. So there you go. And I talk often when I talk of this case about the aiding and abetting aspect of the case and the lack of charges that addressed that issue. And it's very extremely rare that a judge will allow. Now, it seems like the judge is taking control of the trial, as I expected he would, in limiting information, as there are six officers with six different trials, and they are going to have to litigate those cases differently. The evidence that is going to be allowed into those cases are different. What I find troubling, again, is all six officers are sitting in the one officer's trial, and I'm sure they're going to play tag team in doing that throughout the trials of the other officers. The problem with that is it's sort of a taint effect, if you ask me, because if these officers are all sitting in Officer William Porter's trial, then they know everything that every witness is going to say. They have an upper hand at that point in hearing what the evidence shows in his case, and they are free, I'm sure, after this trial, to discuss their testimony among themselves and, you know, play quarterback with the evidence that's going to be presented, that has been presented in the trial. And they have an opportunity to prepare for that person's testimony again. Like I said, I find that particularly troubling, that they're sitting in this trial when they're not on trial. I really do. That's my personal opinion. I don't know what the reason was that was lodged on the record to support such a finding on order that they are allowed to sitting in this person's trial. What you want to do is preserve the fairness of the trial and avoid any taint whatsoever as it relates to the evidence entering into the Officer Porter's case, and also guard against tainting by allowing other individuals into the trial that may be potential witnesses in other cases. There may be potential witnesses in other trials. That is problematic to me, certainly problematic. The medical examiner did rule that this was the manner of death was homicide. And I can see that. I can see that. Willful, gross negligence means that you should have allowed him to wear a belt. I mean, and I believe that I didn't look at all of the medical examiner's report, but there may have been some other bruises and scars or something on Freddie Gray's body, which may point to misconduct even in a physical, in the form of physical abuse. And, you know, sometimes scars show up because of bruising or hitting a van. Anybody that hits a van that hard that it breaks a spinal cord, I would be suspicious of the instrumentality that was used to cause such an injury. I think that would be very severe blows to the body, although they maintain that his body was rolling in and off of this bench. How credible are they? We're called to evaluate the credibility of every witness, no matter who they are, okay? And if that credibility is lacking, we are instructed, and I'm saying we, but the jury will be instructed or should be instructed, if it's a standard jury instruction, to disregard or not give as much credence to their testimony. If you're sitting here listening to something, or if you're sitting listening to something that doesn't sound credible, as a juror, you are free. It is your duty and obligation to limit the importance of that evidence that you give to it when you're deliberating later, to give it no credence whatsoever, or to just, eat the meat and spit out of the bones regarding that evidence. It may be valuable and probative to the jury, but it may have some thorns in it that may need to be ignored. And so I'm thinking that a spinal cord injury, I mean, does it really result in such an injury? They're saying that they didn't buckle seat belts and he fell off, and maybe so. I still have to verify the facts as to whether or not he was cuffed. But I think it's sad that there's no coverage in the mainstream media on this case today. It seems like it was totally ignored. I did not see any references to this case on CNN, at least online. And so it seems like it's just got under all of the terrorist cases. That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, because the public has a right to know. And I believe not only has a right to know, that they need to know what took place in that van that night that Freddie Gray was arrested and transferred to wherever he went. I don't know if he wound up at the hospital. That would be an interesting question. Did he wind up at the hospital, or did they take him to the police headquarters? Well, if they took him to the police headquarters knowing that he had sustained some kind of injury, then they even violated and breached their duty to see that he got medical care as a prisoner all the way across the line. They did that. And so that would be the impetus for charging these officers with voluntary manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, or second-degree murder. So something was extreme in the case. The charge of this officer was second-degree murder, and he's driving the van. Perhaps he drove the van in such a grossly reckless way that it caused Freddie Gray to fall from the bench and sustain mass injury. Maybe that's the basis of the second-degree murder charge. Well, we'll see. I'm trying to sift through the
all of the other news stories about other things to get to this case, and I will certainly try to do so tomorrow. It was my intent to follow this case on a daily basis to see what evidence was going to be admitted, how it would impact the other trials, if it was evident. And, but now I even see something I find problematic is all six officers sitting there in the courtroom. Only one is on trial. I don't know what the purpose of that is, but we'll see tomorrow. As I come back, I will promise to review this case again and see what's going on tomorrow. Well, thank you for listening to the program. I really appreciate it. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/settingtherecordstraight2000. If you wish to listen to this episode or any of the other episodes again, and they're all listed there on the show page. You may email me at bks1233@outlook.com. If you have a question, a comment, or if you can provide me with some information, I certainly will be dutiful about returning your email communication. Well, thanks again. Have a very blessed Monday evening.